There will be a day when we look back at abortion like we do slavery today. I guarantee it. We will wonder how in the world we could have treated another human being like that. And the only reason why that is going to be possible is because of people like my next guest. I cannot wait to introduce you to her and for you to hear her story. My name is Jason W. Hoyt, host of the Liberty Restoration Show. Again, you can get every show at jasonwhoyt.com. That's jasonwhoyt.com. The thing is, big tech will ban this show. That's a guarantee. There's going to be some topics they're not going to like. The only way you can hear every single show and watch every single show is to go to jasonwhoyt.com. Here's the deal. If you go to freelibertybook.com, sign up for alerts. I'll give you a download of my latest book. It's just a guarantee. It's going to happen. It's probably, I'm going to talk about election integrity sometime, and YouTube probably won't like it. I'm probably going to talk about the Rona, and Facebook is probably going to delete that post. So the only place you can see this show and get every single episode is at jasonwhoyt.com. This show will be at jasonwhoyt.com/005. I'm going to get right to it. My guest here today is been a longtime friend, Pastor Belinda Beebe Ford. You've got so many different titles, Belinda. We're trying to figure out what to call you because you've been involved in so many different things through the years. I'm going to actually, I need another, you know, a little line at the bottom there with your title. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for being here. I can't wait to dig into the Fiona Jackson Center for Pregnancy.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
Yeah. I miss you. I miss seeing your smiling face, but that right there. God bless you, my friend. What have you been up to? I'm going to get into what you've been up to because I see your posts. You got the pro-exit. The pro-exit movement. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I want to hear more about the Fiona Jackson Center for Pregnancy, but I'm so glad we're talking about this today. What did you think about my opening line there about how we're going to look at abortion and compare it to slavery? Someday, that's going to happen. We're going to look back and say, how in the world did we treat other human beings like this?
Yes. I remember the first time I heard you say that a few years ago, and that always just stuck in my heart. Oh. One day we're just going to look back as humans and this is going to be history. Just like you said before, it's going to be just like slavery is going to be abolished, going to exist. And we're going to think like, oh my goodness, what were we thinking as a society?
And there are people today who are on one side of that history. And there are people who are on the other side of that history. And you think back the Civil War and what led up to that and all of that. And there's a portion of the country who felt that that was okay. And you look back at this and you're like, I just can't fathom it. It makes no sense to me. How in the world was that okay? And there are Christians out there who, you know, in the South or whatever, and they thought that was okay. You know, the slave trade from the kings of Africa and all, they thought that was okay.
Yeah.
And such a large part of our society today thinks that abortion is okay. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's mind blowing. They have desensitized us to believe that abortion is okay by twisting whether or not it's a baby, or if it's not a baby at 6 weeks or 24 weeks, if it's a personhood. Wow. I mean, those are how they have manipulated us as a human race.
The proper role of government is to protect our rights. That's why we created government, is to protect rights.
Yes.
Second part of the Fifth Amendment says, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And so people get into the technical side. You just talked about personhood. The Constitution says no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The 14th Amendment says the same thing, and that should apply to the states. And so they're having this big debate on the technical side of legality and how do you... And we're waiting for what? We're waiting for Congress. We're waiting for our state legislatures to define what a person is. That's why there is a legal dictionary and there's a regular dictionary. Because we're so caught up in the legal definition of terms. I don't care how the government defines person. God defined it a long time ago. It's done. It's stated. It's said. that's a person, and you're gonna get me started.
I love when you bring back to the forefront how the Constitution protects our God-given rights, mm-hmm. and we the people have to protect ourselves from the government. That's the whole purpose of the Constitution. And some people have got out of step with understanding that's the purpose of it. You cannot lose that, or we end up in situations like we're in today.
Yeah, absolutely. I always tell people, I always remind people, we don't have constitutional rights. We have constitutional protections. We have natural God-given rights. If the First Amendment wasn't there on that piece of parchment paper, would I have the ability to speak my mind? Yes, I would. That is a natural God-given right, as protected by the First Amendment from the government from infringement. You know what I mean? That, like, perspective is key on this. And how's this for perspective? I'm going to give you a little shock here. I'm going to do a little split screen on this right here. How's this one? Listen to this.
Daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals.
But
if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
Can you believe that? Barack Obama in 2008 said that. If they make a mistake.
Oh, my goodness.
Want to hear it again?
If they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
That is the way some in society look at having a baby. Listen to that. I'm going to play it again.
I've got two daughters.
I'm going to teach them morals and values, but.
I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
You believe that?
Wow.
That's society right there. That's a lot of people in society.
Yeah. Yep.
If they make a mistake, I don't want them punished. If anybody says, I'm going to teach them morals and values, but you know after that it's going to be anti-morals and values. Mm-hmm. I know. I watched your face when that played. And I don't know if you had seen that before, but that was
No, that was my first time hearing that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, it's shocking, but it's not shocking coming from a Black man. And I'm just going to say that for the sake of who he represents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we, as a Black community, we've gotten so far away from embracing family. Mm-hmm. So when you hear him say something like that, at some point we all were babies.
Yeah.
So now it's a bigger picture than being punished with a baby. He's basically saying that, you know, you don't need a family. We don't need to embrace family as a Black man. Mm. That's very disturbing.
There is only one activity under God's creation. There's only one activity. It's not, you know, if you clean your room, or if you paint the house, or if you go for a drive, or if you do all these various things that's under God's creation, there's only one activity. There's only one activity that could possibly lead you to being pregnant. There's only one.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be pregnant, and if you are not in a spot where you don't want to be punished with a baby, if you're in a spot where you don't want to raise a baby right now, if you just avoid one activity, there's only one. There's so many things out there in 24 hours in a day that you can do. There's only one activity that will lead to that. And it's avoidable if you're not in that spot.
He called it a mistake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They make a mistake.
He called the activity a mistake. No, it wasn't a mistake. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. You make a decision to operate in that activity. it's not a mistake.
And in fact, I'm gonna do a play on the words that they, quote unquote, sell this movement as. I'm gonna say you have a choice, because here I tell people, hey, I'm pro-choice. Yeah, you choose whether or not to have sex. That's when you make the choice.
That's good, Jason.
That is when you make the choice. Now, of course, you know how you've been in this in so many years. What's the retort after that? The immediate retort is, well, what if you're raped? What if it was, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Belinda, go ahead and tell everybody, what is the percentage of all abortions out there are due to rape?
Less than 1%. The body, the woman's body go through so much trauma. She is in distress. The vibration of her body won't, it just would not allow a baby to be conceived. So if a baby makes it through that trauma, it was a God given.
Oh.
This to get through that type of drama and trauma is babies are already miracle, but this is miraculous.
Yes. So that's the less than 1%, and that's what they always retort. Well, what if they're rape? What if you didn't? Well, okay. Yeah. Now let's go. Let's start with the 99. Let's start with the 99%.
The 99% is a selfish act.
Mm.
When they walk into an abortion clinic and decide to abort their baby at any week, at any part of the trimester, it's a selfish act.
Because they made the choice in that one activity, and there are consequences to that. Here's where I struggle. I have to admit this. Because I see, quote unquote, the left and the way they market it, and I think that it's very deceitful. And so I get, I don't want to say angry, but I get upset, and I want to call out evil. I want to call out the brood of vipers. I want to call them out. And so I get bold and I say, look, abortion is murder. Stop, you know, but you're on the front lines of this. And there are, and I recognize this, and I probably need help with the balance myself when I challenge abortion and this kind of thing in the public square. Because there are real people who have been marketed to who believe this stuff. And then you see, and you see, because look, I'm gonna pull this up here, if I can get this right. Let's see here. But anyways, tell me about the Fiona Jackson Center for Pregnancy, and really who you're helping and how that, where did that come from?
I'm gonna back up just a little bit, Jason, on what you were saying about being out on the forefront of all of this, in the front of this, on the front line. Weekly, I go out to an abortion clinic. It's in Altamont, Florida. And I go out there on Thursdays, which is late term abortion, meaning they can abort the baby from 16 to 24 weeks. And let me tell you, Jason, your first mind, it comes and says, it's only probably like 4 or 5 girls that may show up at this clinic. Jason, there is well over 15 women that shows up at this clinic that is in between 16 and 24 weeks. You can actually see that they're pregnant. And like you said, the left has poured so much evil into their minds that they believe this is a necessity because they don't want the baby. And they pay hundreds of dollars to this abortionist that they're there at 9 and he comes rolling in at 11:30, 12 o'clock in his Mercedes from Tampa, Florida. And we try to relay that information over to them that this is happening. And we tell them in a couple of minutes, you'll see him. He's going to ride up in his Mercedes. You're paying his mortgage. You're paying his car note. You're paying for his children to go to college by killing your baby. So that give your audience an understanding of how desensitized we are when it comes to abortion. In the left, if we can walk into an abortion clinic with a baby with all their body parts that can actually be born and survive at this point, you can actually go into labor and this baby can survive. They are walking into abortion clinics and actually killing their babies. So,
but what,
I just want to make sure we get that there.
What had gone through their mind to get to that point to drive there? And a lot of it, I'm sure, is just fear. They're nervous about can I raise this baby? And let me guess. So I mean, what percent of them where the father's not involved?
Well, this is very interesting. Lately, in the last few months, a lot of times the fathers are there with them. That, wow. And of course, this is treated like a government system, so they don't allow the fathers to come in. They can't take in their cell phones. They have to go in there bare, basically. And so we get a chance to minister to the fathers, and a lot of times the fathers don't want to do this because they're looking at her with a baby in her womb. But it goes back to what you were saying. The left has done a really good job at making them feel like this is okay and it's not a baby.
Right, right. Yeah.
And they've done this through our postal service, through media, through programming, through our schools. They already prepare our children for this through that educational part of Planned Parenthood that they implement into our junior high schools and our high schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they already have this stuff in their consciousness. And you can see it. They speak it. They get angry and they yell at us and they say all these things. So you hear the foolishness that the left has put into their sound, into their mind.
Yeah. What they've been convinced, it's like it's women's health care. It's reproductive rights. It's, you know, this is part of women's health care. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's no recognition of that thing as a human being. And that's why, whenever I refer to, obviously, the baby as a human being, it's various stages, right? Various mm-hmm. stages of a human being.
We have to go through those stages as humans. We Absolutely. Cannot pop out as adults.
Right. But the denial it takes to not recognize that as a human, I just think that must have been the denial it took for people to not recognize slaves as human.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And imagine calling yourself a Christian back in the day and on your plantation you got slaves. How do you reconcile that?
How do you reconcile it?
I don't understand, but is the foolery of the marketing of the women's rights, women's reproductive rights and all that, just the idea of Planned Parenthood, That infers that you have a plan, mm-hmm. and you plan to be a parent, you plan to step into parenthood, and so you would think that.
Oh my!
But you would think that an organization that titles themselves Planned Parenthood, I would go there because they're going to help me how to plan to be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't.
They don't. And it's amazing how now they're canceling out their founder, but you can't, how can you cancel out the founder and not cancel out the vision?
Yeah.
Because you are promoting the founder's vision. You can't just write her name off.
Right.
And say, oh, we're no longer upholding her and giving awards in her name. No, but you're still living out her vision. And this is where they treat us as if we're idiots.
Yeah, and I sent you that article yesterday. I'm trying to pull it up, but I don't have a screenshot of it. That's the I'm head of Planned Parenthood, and we have I can't see it right now because I don't actually want to go to the New York Times to see this article.
Yeah,
and they're blocking me through their paywall.
There's a couple of them out there. Yeah,
yeah. But anyways, they're trying to reconcile. We have to deal with our. But if you read that article in detail, they skirt the lines by calling America racist right now. And all of that. I mean, it was.
It's, yeah.
What was your take on that article?
Black Lives Matter. It's all of that. It's all part of that Black Lives Matters deal in trying to. I think you say it best. Trying to turn America into something that is not.
Right.
And they're doing it little bit by little bit by little bit. Mm-hmm. And Planned Parenthood is the organization that is obviously getting money from the government. That's a part of this change, this cancel culture. And I'm sure this just, you know, didn't just fall out of the sky, Jason.
Right.
You know, this whole, you knew that she was a racist years ago.
Yeah.
This is not something you just sit down at a table and figure out, oh, we're going to cancel the founders. No, you know exactly what you're doing. This is a strategic plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's the convergence.
That's exactly what it is.
And right now we're facing the convergence of so many fronts. And the department, I'll just say this, the Department of Education has been prepping the battlefield for 40 years for such a time as right now, when so many people are completely ignorant to what's going on, to be able to see trends, to see how things are coming. Critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, yeah, all of these fronts, the cancel culture, all of the intimidation, the fascism, all of that, all of these fronts coming in, and we have a society who's falling for it.
Embracing it.
And then you've got Hollywood and all these people making pop culture, making it cool. And now they're so bold. Show your abortion and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the whole plan is to say that America is a racist country. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm thinking they're walking around like this because how can you live in this country as a Black woman, a Black man, and say that this is a racist country and not understand that Planned Parenthood is the hood of racism in this country?
Not only was the founder not only was the founder racist and genocidal and all this kind of stuff, but Planned Parenthood today, I don't know how many there are, there's hundreds of thousands or hundreds, if not thousands, of these. And where are the vast majority of these Planned Parenthoods set up?
In communities of poverty, Black and Hispanic communities.
Communities of poverty.
And they're hiding up on the subsidiaries too now. It's amazing how they maneuver. And this is one of those things to get to the Fiona Jackson Center for Pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Not only do they get money from the government, but they get money from our society too. People, they always asking for donations because they receive donations. And our communities give to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And so so when you talk about the Christian, I always speak to the Christians when I go out and I say, listen, Planned Parenthood is fully funded. They're fully staffed. They have no lack in paying their employees. You as a Christian need to support your local pregnancy center.
Yeah.
This is a way from a grassroots effort that we can shut down a Planned Parenthood. If we become pregnancy centers all over our nation, become household names in our homes.
Yes.
Like Planned Parenthood is a household name. Make your local pregnancy center a household name in your community, in your county, in your city. That will stop those women from getting to the abortion clinic.
Yes.
So,
but the abortion clinic.
I'm sorry, I plug that in.
No. That's you're nailing it. But the abortion clinic's called Planned Parenthood. If we're gonna, oh boy, I'm pregnant. I'm gonna become a parent. I need help planning. Right. That's where they walk into. Yeah. Do people walk into Planned Parenthood thinking that they're going to help, or do they know ahead of time that, yep, they're going to get rid of that thing?
Not only Planned Parenthood's, but other abortion clinics, like the all women's center, is just like a Planned Parenthood. All they do is abortions. So at this particular abortion clinic that I stand in front of Abortion Mill, there's a pregnancy center right next door. Genius. So they find women that walk into that pregnancy center all the time, believing that they're all at the all women's center. Okay. And they think it's like night and day.
Yeah.
So they have to convince them to allow them to help them with the free ultrasound instead of going over there and paying $300 and $400 for ultrasound and then paying, you know, $600 for a late term abortion, up to $1,200. So it's so many different parts of it. It's an ongoing battle. It's unbelievable, Jason. Unbelievable.
So the Fiona Jackson Center for Pregnancy did not exist one day and now it does. How did that happen?
Well, to make that long story short, I started having dreams about babies crying. And I was trying to put a band-aid over these dreams because I will wake up in the middle of the night crying out, just stressed and could not understand why these dreams felt so real. My son kind of woke me up to, Mom, I think we need to go get you some help. because this is way too much. Like, now we're crying and we're running around thinking someone's breaking into the house because they hear me in the other room.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that went on for some years, at least 3 years, three or more years. And then I started volunteering at various pregnancy centers here in Orlando. And I'm sitting at my desk at my job one day, and I just thought it was one of them nights. I was just tired, and I'm at work, and I hear, open up a pregnancy center. Now, in the midst of this, I started having like these visions of Fiona Jackson's life, which is my cousin. And I couldn't understand why I would have these episodes. And I was a little girl, so I don't even know how to come into this understanding or this vision. And I would talk to my mom a little bit, and I'd say, Mom, did this happen? Did that happen? But I can remember my family being in turmoil, just going through a lot. And so now I'm at my desk, and I said, okay, I'm tripping. You know, I got way too much going on. I can't open up a pregnancy center. How do I open up a pregnancy center? Like, these pregnancy centers probably got a budget of $1 million. They do a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And so that next day, Jason, I had the same routine, getting ready for lunch, and I heard it again, and it was loud, but I wasn't tired. I said, oh my, this is real. So I get on Google, and I search up how to open up a pregnancy center. And the way they laid it,
it was
so easy. Like, okay, is that all you have to do? And then my brain got thinking and working it out. And I went through that process. So with that being said, the Lord really started giving me episodes of Fiona life, because now I'm trying to understand what I'm going to do with this. And Fiona started getting pregnant at the age of 12. She started getting pregnant at the age of 12. And she, by the age of 19, she had three beautiful little girls. Wow. Well, at that moment, she found out she was diagnosed. She was diagnosed with HIV. Well, really fast, that went into a full-blown AIDS. Now, she's 19 years old. By the age of 23, she ends up dying. At that point, I'm 17 years old. In the midst of her learning that she was HIV positive, the torment and the turmoil that my family went through in the 90s, because HIV was like, you couldn't even stand in front of a person and talk alone if they found out that anyone in your family, they didn't want to have a drink at your house. They didn't want your kids around their children. It was terrible in that community. And so my family went through so much. We kind of just, Christmas and Thanksgivings went by and we didn't even know it. Fiona died the day after Christmas. And now we have her girls, and her girls are growing up. And to make this very long story short, her three girls had 10 kids, 10 children. They have 10 children today. And those 10 children brought life to our family, because they don't know about the generational curses. They don't know about the HIV and what we went through and hiding and the fights and the depression. They have no clue. They're ready to sell. They're going to school. They're ready to celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, everything. They're just full of joy.
Yep.
Whether my aunt and my mother realize it, they brought life to our family. So through Fiona and her children, gave our family newness.
Yes.
And I came into that revelation as the Lord started, you know, giving me the episodes and telling me this. And he said to me, there's a lot of Fionas in Pine Hills area, in Orlando area. Mm-hmm. And he says that this pregnancy center will stop the cycle of abortion and embrace family.
I mean, I'm looking at your website. That is a phenomenal story. I did not know that. I've been seeing you post and a lot of this stuff, Fiona Jackson. I'm like, where did that name come from? That's interesting. I'm so glad you shared that story with me. I had no idea. I'm looking at your website here. Pregnant, we can help. This is a great website, by the way. As far as if I hear about this, I come here from a marketing perspective. Pregnant, we can help.
Yeah.
We're here for you. You're not alone, right? Cost-free services.
Yes.
Counseling, tests, childbirth classes. Right away, you get to the fact, life skills, childbirth classes. You sound like you're helping someone plan their step into parenthood. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You got the location, the hours. You tell a story here. Upcoming classes for you, single mothers group. Because I was going to ask, like, where are the dads? You know, where are the dads in this conversation? And the fact that you said that you know, a lot of them are showing up, I think that that's phenomenal. You said in the last few months you've noticed that. But, I mean, they've got to get engaged in this process. Yeah. And they need to understand they're a part of that pro-choice decision of having sex or not. They're a part of that. It's not a fun and games thing. There's only one activity under the sun that can lead to that. But this is great. Well done, BB.
Well, thank you. We do have churches on board that embraces the fathers of our babies that come here to the pregnancy center. And I'm very grateful for that. Mm. Very grateful. We have some pastors and some leaders here, men that's embracing the fathers and being patient with them.
Yeah.
So that is awesome. It's a start, Jason. And it's a long battle. And I just said this to one of my clients. I said, listen, somebody had to get it started. Mm-hmm. I may be dead and gone. I may not see the glory. I may not see the, but I'm gonna get this process started. And I have faith that God will finish it. He will give the increase.
Yeah.
And so that means I won't give up. Mm. I'm not looking for the end. I'm looking for God to give the increase whenever He decides.
Yeah. Which so many people in the community have blessed your operations. I see different drives you do, and then people show up. You know, did I see one about you know, van service and pickups and stuff like that, and a table and these different things you've done?
Yes, we've had two Walk for Lives. We've had a Walk for Life Pine Hills. I don't know if your audience will understand that, but that's huge for the community of Pine Hills, and I'm so looking forward to that this year. We have transportation. We was blessed with some space here on the West Orange Church of Christ property here in Winter Garden. And because we serve the Pine Hills area, it was just difficult to try to transport these girls from Pine Hills to here or understanding if they had any transportation.
Sure.
So Jason, I started walking on water. Like, we can raise money to buy a van. And everybody kind of just looked at me like, BB, do you realize we just started this pregnancy center? And before you know it,
here we go. BB wants a van. Yeah, say, I'm sorry, go ahead. Here we go. BB wants a van. God is like, bam, van.
Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't the best looking van, but it came from what I'm understanding, it came from Disney property, and it was just sitting out there in the sun, and it only had so many hundreds of miles on it, which is really good for a van. So it runs great. It just doesn't look the best, but it runs great.
That is awesome. Well, if anybody wants to learn more about you and your Center for Pregnancy, go to fjcenter.org. That's fjcenter.org. You know, one thing I talk about with the audience here is about an awakening, when people start to wake up and people start to, I'm fascinated by that process. They get, something doesn't quite sit right. They start to realize some things. They start to ask some questions, and then they start to learn for themselves because they stop listening to the marketing that they've been. And so that awakening process is really what I'm fascinated by, and I want to encourage others to start asking questions and start thinking for themselves. Would you mind?
That's kind of what happened with me.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's kind of what happened with me. And you know, God has his way of stirring you into the right places. I have a friend that call him God Dots. John Barrows here in Orlando. Yeah. John Barrows here in Orlando challenged me as a minister to go look up Margaret Sanger. Now, Jason, I could have taken that card that he wrote her name on and tossed it.
Yep.
But something in me, because I didn't think anything was wrong with abortion. He said he was out there praying for the nurses, and he said, little black girls like you are going to walk here, and I just want them to know that Jesus loved them and loved the baby in their womb. I still didn't see anything wrong. I was like, okay, what's wrong with abortion? And I'm a minister. No one had really given me the truth. Abortion was birth control in my family.
Yeah.
So when I took on that information, Jason, my family thought I had lost my mind. They still think I'm kind of crazy right now. But they thought it was just like, Belinda, what are you talking about? I was like, this lady is a racist. She's been trying to kill us off. And la, la, la. I mean, I was radical. You know, I was radical. But today I've gained some wisdom on trying to relay that message and and allowing God. I'm going to plant and I'm going to water. And just like God gave the increase in my life for me to see the truth, to wake up to the truth, I'm believing that for the people around me, especially in my family.
Yeah. Now that what you just talked about there, that's what I said earlier that I struggle with, because I want to call out the brood of vipers. I want to call out the evildoers out there who are in charge of and pushing those marketing slogans. But in, when I do that, am I alienating the people who may have not had an awakening yet? I just need to be careful, I think. This is what I feel. I got to figure out where that balance is, because I want to call out evil. I think I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to hurt those that have not had that awakening yet.
Yeah. You know, we have a little bit of that on the sidewalk in front of the abortion clinic, because there is a group of people that looks to abolish abortion. And then you have these pro-life people that says, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So we have a little bit of struggle there, because they want to abolish abortion. So they want to call it out right then. But it's not the place and time. Because we got women that's walking into this abortion mill. And so they have no clue about this whole abolishing abortion or this whole pro-life thing.
And not just abolish abortion, but calling it out. Abortion is murder, you know.
Yeah.
You got people over here that they're walking in with a certain mindset of, I'm in pain, I'm in fear. I'm really nervous. I have a lot of anxiety about, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this. And these people over here are calling me a murderer. I mean, so that's not, they're not attracting me to their
You
call.
Have to separate the two. Yep. You have to separate the two. And sometimes it makes me cringe when I'm out there and because my whole thing is, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you before you walk in there? But then you'll hear someone says, you're murdering your babies. Don't murder your babies. It's murder. He's a serial killer. And you hear these things. So you got two different messages just going. And so I would say to you, Jason, there's a balance. There's the people that you need to go after, which are the vipers. They are the ones that's the reason why these girls are going in there, because they have Satan's thoughts on how to promote stem cell. You know, they have a bigger picture, that whole stem cell, you know. So how do we get the stem cells? Well, we need to figure out how to get more girls into the abortion clinic so we can take their fresh embryonic cells, you know, so they have this a bigger picture. And those people, we need to call out. We need to speak truth to power.
But how dare you, if you go undercover and you have to actually have someone on video admitting that they sell baby body parts on camera, because... You know, and wasn't that in California last few years, that those people who had that, they're the ones who were
in court and all.
They're the ones that were attacked. So you got to be careful there.
Yeah.
What a crazy world we live in. And I am so glad that in this world there are people like you, Bibi.
Thank you, Jason. I'm glad there's people like you.
Well, I'm trying my
Not
best.
Giving up.
Yeah, absolutely. There will be a day when we look back on abortion like we do slavery today.
Yes, sir.
And it's going to be because of people like you, Bibi. Thank you so much. Would you mind, I don't typically do this on this show here, but this would be perfect. Would you mind praying a little bit here at our close for the listeners, for that spark of awakening and whatever's on your heart?
Yes, sir. Father, we come before you thanking you for this type of media. Thank you for Jason and his family upholding this message and speaking truth about our liberties here that only comes from you. Father, Jason, he gets it, and he's trying to do his part in the earth realm. I'm praying, Father, that you bless him with whatever he needs for this message to get out. I'm praying over his books, Father, which is a very handy book that we could carry around. I'm praying that the American people get this book in their pockets, in their bags, in their surroundings, and that they will go forth, because this book, Father, teaches us truly what the Constitution is about and teaches us the freedom that you've given us. So I thank you. I thank you for Jason, and I thank you for his time and his sacrifice to our country. Father, as we have spoken about abortion, we have spoken about these things, this evil presence that's here in the United States. We know, me and Jason know without a shadow of a doubt, that one day this will be history. So Father, I'm praying that the listeners to this broadcast will do their part in their communities, that they will support their local pregnancy centers, that they will stand against abortion in their community, that they, if they have any creation in their mind that can come through to stop abortion, to end abortion, to abolish abortion, that they will have the faith to step out like you gave me. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you in advance that we will call abortion history in this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Mm. Belinda.
God is so good.
Baby, I know. I pray that you continue with abundance to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm. Thank you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you, Belinda. FJCenter.org. Check her out. Check out what she's doing and figure out a way to do it in your area as well. Stick with me here. I'm going to hit the button, but God bless you.